Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. The nutritional supplement company Herbalife sells its products through independent distributors, kind of like Avon or Amway. Herbalife sellers happen to be mostly Latino. And now the company is being investigated by the Federal Trade Commission on charges that it's a pyramid scheme where sellers have to recruit new sellers and earn very little money, disadvantaging members of the Latino community. Here to explain who is behind the investigation is New York Times reporter Alexandra Stevenson. Hi, Alexandra. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi. How you doing?
Why might this be a pyramid scheme?
Why might Herbalife be a pyramid scheme?
Yeah.
Well, so as you say, it's a multi-level marketing company. And so it's a model that's like Amway's, like Tupperware's, like Avon's. Herbalife relies on a network of individual distributors who make money by selling the product, their diet shakes, et cetera. So, and then these distributors also make money by recruiting new people into the network. A pyramid scheme is a hierarchical business where new recruits make up the bottom of the pyramid and they provide revenue and money to members within the network above them. So the question is, the bulk of Herbalife's revenues are derived from recruiting and not from the sale of their diet shakes and other products to consumers outside of the Herbalife network, then it might look like a pyramid scheme. The question is, and what we don't know, because Herbalife doesn't publicly disclose these numbers, is actually the total percentage of sales that come from outside the network. So that's basically it.
So there's this guy named Bill Ackman, as you know, a hedge fund billionaire who's been on a crusade for more than a year to sink Herbalife. He placed a $1 billion bet that the company will be found to be an illegal pyramid scheme. Ackman has said he's concerned for people who lose money in Herbalife, and his quest to bring the company down seems almost personal. He's even said that he'll donate any personal profits he makes off of this if he succeeds after, you know, investing short on Herbalife. Is there anything in it for Bill Ackman besides the money? Why does he care?
Why does he care? It's a financial bet, but when you're going out publicly and saying that you're wagering $1 billion on an idea, I think it becomes personal. You know, it's either you're right or wrong. If you're wrong, you don't look so good. That's a lot of money. Maybe there's something else to it. He certainly said that he's vowing to take this campaign to the end of the earth. And he said it's a personal matter for him. But, you know, we can only take his word and see what he's done.
So, listeners, have you ever sold Herbalife? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. Did you make any money? Did you have to recruit other sellers as part of the deal? 212-433-9692. Give us a call. Did you have a good or bad experience selling Herbalife? Are you having one now? What do you think of the company and the allegations in this investigation? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for New York Times correspondent Alexandra Stevenson, who is on the Herbalife beat. And let's take a phone call from Milagros in the Bronx. Milagros, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, good.
I'm calling right now because I feel really bad every time I hear something about Herbalife. I have a few friends that, even their moms have been victims of Herbalife. The thing that the way that they work is that they make you buy products and they tell you you're going to make a lot of money. And then some of these people have invested in life savings. They tell them you're going to make thousands of dollars. The more people you bring in, the more money you make. And all these people are left with boxes of products that they're not able to sell. No, it's really sad, the situation and everything, because they don't even tell you how the product works, how to sell the product or nothing. It's just, you know, you could bring money, bring people in, and they make you spend all your money, and then you're left with nothing.
So this didn't happen to you personally, but you have friends who it happened to?
Well, it didn't happen to me personally, but it happened to my best friend's mom. She is, we're all Latinos, and she had, you know, some savings, and they told her, well, since you're doing nothing right now, you can come in and work with us, and we'll help you. The more money you invest, the more people you bring in, the more money you make. know,
when you say the more money you invest and the more money you, the more people you bring in, do you happen to know if your friend's mom was paid for bringing in people?
No, they were not paid. They were only foreign. They would invest and they would buy products. Then, you know, they would get more money.
Yeah.
And they would start making money. But nobody
and,
of them
and
were
you,
paid.
Do you happen to know how much of her life savings
well,
they
my,
took from her?
Yeah, she spent $14,000.
$14,000. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And Alexandra, is that the kind of horror story that you've been hearing, reporting on this?
Yeah. So in my reporting, I spoke to a number of advocacy groups that have made efforts to try to identify victims. So some of these have ranged from setting up toll-free numbers, urging people to come forward, setting up websites, going door-to-door, asking the same question, have you sold Herbalife product? Did you have problems selling it? You know, and basically what you just went through with this caller. And so we've heard stories about, you know, Make the Road New York, for example, is an advocacy group here in New York that says that they've so far identified 30 people who have collectively lost $100,000. Mm. I think the important thing to note, though, is that just because people have lost money doesn't necessarily mean that that they're victims, or it doesn't necessarily speak to the larger company.
Right. All kinds of people make investments in things that are legitimate that don't
exactly.
pan out for one reason
exactly.
or another.
Exactly.
But is it unusual in these other companies who we've compared Herbalife to, in theory, Avon or Amway or Tupperware, that they invest much of their own money in that kind of way? Would one of those distributors be asked to pony up $14,000 before they sell an ounce of anything?
I mean, I think the issue with Herbalife is that distributors are asked to put up all the money up front to buy the product in bulk, and then it's up to them. You know, they have to offload that product and find consumers further down the line. So that's where it becomes more difficult. You know, and I should add that, you know, some of the consultants and lobbying groups that we spoke to told us that actually there are victims who are reluctant to come forward, people who've lost money because they are in the U.S. illegally. And so as you go further up the line, there are claims that distributors who have made it past the first and second level and are recruiting new people, they're recruiting people who are less likely to lodge complaints. So there's a lot going on there.
But just to be super clear, with these mm-hmm. other things, do you just get the products as a salesperson and you have to pay the company for the products that you buy, and then hopefully you'll be able to turn around and sell them, you know, going
yeah.
door-to-door as an Avon person, if they still do that, or holding
yeah.
Tupperware parties in your living room? You just buy the product. Is that different than investing $14,000 in Herbalife? Are they somehow investing more in the abstract as a company in addition to the actual products that they're buying?
As far as I understand, no. But I think a lot of people put up a lot of money up front
uh-huh.
for classes to help, you know, for advice and how to sell. And
right.
they participate in conferences. So there's a lot more to it that you can opt into. And I think that a lot of people, when presented with a story, the one that Herbalife gives, which is, you know, you can become a millionaire, you can make a lot of money doing this. I think they put a lot of effort into and money into trying to make it work.
Here's another caller who I think is an unsatisfied former distributor. Jeff in Mount Kisco, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Hiya. Yeah, you know, I'm somewhat unsatisfied, but I also have a little bit of a different balance view. I have background in both Herbalife and in Amway, two very different organizations, one much more professional than the other, both very hard to make money in. With regard to Herbalife, yes, there's a lot of front-loaded money, not only for products, but as your guest was pointing out, also for a variety of different online and live telephone training workshops. Depending upon who's in your upline, who are you directly reporting to, who's recruited you in, and who is above their levels, there's a great variance in how much good information and good support you're going to get. You know, there's very little control in that organization. In fact, virtually none about who gets to buy on. As long as you ante up your money at the beginning, they're going to take anybody. And so, like, any situation like that, there's going to be a tremendous variance in the quality of people that you, in a downline, get stuck with being supported or managed by. So let me stop for a second, see what questions or whatever you have.
Alexandra, what would you say to Jeff or ask Jeff based on his experience with Herbalife and Amway?
Well, I wanted to press you a bit further on. You said you have experience both with Herbalife and Amway separately.
Yeah.
I mean, how was your experience at Amway different?
Much more professional company.
And how so?
The products are better. The promotional materials and the level of real, well, I'll say mostly more caring, training, and support is very different. There seems to be, and now I'm going to report my personal experience, of course. It's a huge organization. But in my personal experience, the people that I worked with upline from me were just, I don't know, I hate to, they're like a better class of people, somewhat more educated. They were more dedicated. They were on the phone with me a lot. In both situations, though, let me, first of all, a lot of people are lulled into this, you know, get something for nothing mentality. Plunk down a bunch of money and somehow magically checks are going to appear in your mailbox. Let nobody think that this is not a full-time business effort in both situations that requires a tremendous amount of time and effort, a lot of long commitment. It doesn't pay off for probably even somebody working it full-time. You got to expect a year and a half, 2 years.
To develop a customer base?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
To develop a customer base?
To develop a customer base and to get enough people in multiple levels. You know, this is not like going out and somebody has a sales job for an insurance company and you're just selling to a person, then you're selling to a person. This is a multi-level marketing situation in which you must have enough people that also recruit people, that also recruit people on multiple levels.
Uh-huh. And is Amway different from that, Jeff? Because that gets to the fundamental question of whether this is a pyramid scheme, which would be illegal, as opposed to a legitimate multi-level business.
They both work the same way. Now, the different compensation packages and how the amounts of products that have to be sold by these various levels do vary. The company business models are very different. But in my experience, of course, the phrase pyramid scheme or Ponzi scheme has a very negative connotation. If I had to say, just based on the professionalism and the level of support and the front-end information that is and is not giving to people joining both of these organizations, my personal experience is that Herbalife is much closer to what somebody would connote to be a pyramid scheme, whereas Amway is much less like that. Still a tremendous amount of work to be done. And the people.
Can I just interrupt to ask you a question? Is that because your distinction between Herbalife and Amway, is that because you think that Herbalife, it's much harder to actually sell the product outside of the Herbalife network?
Well, that's very interesting. So there's a couple, this is a long topic. Let me net it out. Herbalife does not have nearly the breadth, the scope of the number of types and categories of products, number one. So Amway gives you, if you look in their catalog, they are selling just so many different products and so many different categories and types of products. They have affiliations with far more companies that are not just Amway. Amway does not manufacture all of its own products. They brand all of their own products, but they have other manufacturers making them for them. So does Herbalife. But Amway probably, this is unscientific, by a factor of at least 10 times the breadth of products, so that you have a lot more in your kit bag to offer people than Herbalife.
Jeff, you're a good talker. I would imagine you make a good salesman out there, whatever it is you're selling. And I appreciate you calling in and with some of the nuance that you brought to the conversation. And we are talking, if you're just joining us, about the nutritional supplement company Herbalife, which sells its products through independent distributors, kind of like Amway and some other things like that, but is being investigated by the Federal Trade Commission on suspicions that it's a pyramid scheme. So, Alexandra, did you learn anything new there?
I did. You know, I think the question really is, who is the customer when you're asking with these companies whether they are legitimate multi-level marketing companies or whether they are pyramid schemes. If the customer comes from within the network of distributors, you know, if a large percentage, more than the majority, then that is potentially what the FTC would consider a pyramid scheme.
Well, you're really selling product to other people who are ultimately trying to sell product to the public,
right.
And there's never ultimately a public there.
Because there's a sense you're misleading the consumer. You're saying, you know, that this is a product that there's demand for, but that demand isn't really, you know, what you would generally consider demand for a product. If it's coming from people who have to sell, you know, who believe that if they continue selling, they can make more money.
New York Times correspondent Alexandra Stevenson writing about the Herbalife investigation. And here's Brent in Washington, D.C. And, Brent, you're involved with one of the organized groups that's fighting Herbalife. Is that right?
Yes, I'm the executive director of the League of United Latin American Citizens. And we're working hard to try to protect the Latino members of the Herbalife distributor network. They estimate that 60% of their distributors speak Spanish. And we're concerned because we think there might even be more, a higher percentage of their distributors that are Latino overall. And when you look at their statement of average gross compensation, you find that 88% of their distributors received no payments from the company in 2012, and that only about 3.6% received less than $1,000 for the entire year. So we believe that this is probably the biggest fraudulent company operating in Latino communities currently in the United States, and just because of the size of the number of, the percentage of their distributors that are Latino.
And Brent, there was a suggestion made before that perhaps they're recruiting Latinos to try to sweep in a lot of people here are undocumented because they don't have the clout to fight back that people on more, you know, secure status grounds would be on if they get defrauded. Do you think that's the case?
I think that's absolutely the case. In fact, about 80% of the victims that we've identified are undocumented, and it's made it extremely difficult for us to get them to come forward because they're, as you know, they do not like to attract attention to themselves. They don't even like to bring themselves to the attention of the company. They're very afraid and they're reluctant to step forward. And yet we have identified quite a few victims and quite a few of them. And in fact, more and more folks are coming forward. And I think that's really important. The thing too was mentioned that Herbalife is like Tupperware and Avon. And also Amway. I'm not going to comment on the Amway piece because they may be, but I think Tupperware and Avon are quite a bit different in that they limit the levels of their downline to 3 levels. They don't make such outrageous claims about income potential, and they have real products. The Herbalife products are, I think, another scam in and of themselves because they're basically supplements that don't really do anything. And I sent to Alexandra copies of the types of testimonials that they talk about with these distributors about their products, talking about the fact that some of them will even say they cure cancer and cure diabetes and cure even things like hypertension and attention deficit disorder. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It was like over 300 pages of testimonials that I sent to her that is being spread around by Herbalife distributors about their products. And I'm surprised that in the Time story, it wasn't very balanced. It didn't really cover the victims at all. It didn't cover these gross exaggerations of the product line. In fact, it just didn't cover anything from the perspective of the organizations that are working to try to bring this company, at least get them to reform their practices.
Alexandra, I'm sure you'll want to respond in a minute to his characterization of your article. But I also want to bring in another caller first, because, Brent, you referred to claims that you say are fraudulent, that this can cure or treat diabetes. And
yes,
it looks like we have a caller from East Islip who was a distributor who felt pressure from Herbalife with respect to the line of sales about diabetes. Frank in East Islip, thank you for calling in. And did I get that right at all?
Yeah, hi, Brian. I felt pressed right from the start. You know, the first day I called, they said, well, you know, there's a limited time available. And I should have known better, but that was sort of in a desperate situation for money, so I went along with it. But right from the start, there's the pressure. You know, you have to get in today or else there won't be any room. They had also had a shake. They want you to take the product. I drank the shake for a couple of weeks, and I felt terrible. I don't know what was in it, but as far as the diabetic issue, yeah, a woman that I was trying to sell to had diabetes. So she was asking, you know, what effect is this going to have on it? So I asked, I forget what they call them, the person above you, the sponsor or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And she said, oh, yeah, it's fine. You know, like, I mean, she wasn't a doctor, you know, so I have no idea how
was
she knew
it we'll be. Sweetened? Did it have sugar or carbs? Do you
I'm
know?
Sure it had sugar and carbs and soy, and I don't think she had any place to say it would be no problem for a diabetic. She's not a doctor. She's a Herbalife distributor.
I see. But it was just about being no problem for a diabetic. It wasn't for you to make a claim, to use some kind of language that this could treat her diabetes.
No, it wasn't. And I also found that they want you to spend money every time you turn around. They want you to buy leads. They want you to go to conventions. And they have these conference calls. And it's almost like, I don't want to say a cult, but they all sound the same. All the people that speak, they all sound the same.
Frank, I appreciate your call. We're on the line still with our caller, Brent in D.C., head of the League of United Latin American Citizens, one of the groups pressuring the government to do something about Herbalife, and Alexandra Stevenson, New York Times correspondent, who has written about this story. Alexandra, did you want to say anything to Brent?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, our story was about the role that a billionaire hedge fund manager has played in getting Latino advocacy groups to campaign against Herbalife. And this is all part of an attempt to apply pressure on regulators to investigate the company. What we thought was interesting, you know, there are a lot of different angles to this story, but we thought was particularly interesting was that this Bill Ackman, this hedge fund manager, had made a $1 billion bet against Herbalife. And what he says is that he's trying to protect Hispanics who he says are frequently recruited by Herbalife and who often fall into debt after being unable to sell the product. But what was interesting in my reporting and what we discovered and wrote about was that a lot of advocacy groups who are organizing protests and letter writing campaigns and news conferences calling on lawmakers and regulators to investigate the company, many of these groups have been engaged by lobbyists and consultants that Bill Ackman has hired as part of his campaign.
So let me
ask, was really the angle for us.
So Brent, has Bill Ackman been funding your group at all? And what do you think about the role of this hedge fund billionaire who places a $1 billion bet against the company and then goes out to discredit them?
Yeah, so we did receive a $10,000 contribution from Bill Ackman's group, Pershing Square, for a gala dinner. And that actually took place before we even started working on the issue. And it was for an event that we had. So what when this, you know, I frankly don't even pay attention to the smaller level donors like that at these different events. But when we decided to get involved in this campaign, we said we weren't going to take any funding from any of the parties involved. And I guess honestly didn't realize that we had already accepted a contribution from the company. We've since returned it. But it has nothing to do with whether or not this is the right campaign. In fact, we spent well over $100,000 of our own money, Brian, on this campaign, and countless hours of my own time and my staff's time working to try to address this issue, because we believe it's very serious for our organization and for the entire Latino community because of the number of people we're talking about. I mean, if you're talking about 60% of 500,000 people, that's well over, you know, it's well over 250,000
right.
People, maybe 300,000 people that
right.
Are Latino.
Do you
that
wish that?
Company,
do you
all
wish
of them
that?
Are losing money.
And so, accepting your
yes.
Earnestness, do you wish that Bill Ackman would stay out of it, that it sort of complicates the public discourse about Herbalife if you have a hedge fund manager placing a $1 billion bet against them and going out to try to discredit them? I mean, presumably somebody with enough money could try to drag down the stock of any company if they threw enough money at trying to discredit them. So does it hurt your cause because it raises a credibility issue?
It doesn't one level because of this credibility issue that you're talking about. But honestly, I don't understand the angle here, because when you look at the fact that there's a lot of disputes between interests with money that happen all the time in Washington, constantly involving different regulators and different companies are, you know, right now there's an effort by Comcast, for example, wants to merge with Time Warner Cable, and there's some other industry representatives, mainly the national broadcasters, are going to bring their concerns to regulators. That's not unusual for that to happen. Mm-hmm. I was just surprised by the Times kind of making this seem like this never happens before. But, you know, regardless of that, I got to say one thing about this industry. The multi-level marketing industry has not had a money opponent for the last 30 years. And that's perhaps what makes it unusual, unlike most other industries. And so they've been pretty much able to run around and without any opponent, giving money to members of Congress and influencing regulators for 30 years. And as a result, we've got some pretty weak rules that govern the ability of these companies to, in essence, promise large amounts of money to individuals to get them sucked into the thing and then have those individuals' very own losses, the losses that they suffer, profiting the company. And that's what's going on with Herbalife and actually, frankly, other multi-level marketing companies as well. So,
Brent, I'm going to leave it there. And I really
dollars here who want to do something about it. I mean, that it's not unusual, and it's probably something that's helpful.
Was Herbalife on your radar screen before Ackman's campaign?
Not individually. The multi-level marketing universe
was.
We've been very concerned about them for a long time.
Thank you, Brent. I appreciate your calling in. Brent from the League of United Latin American Citizens. And Alexandra from the Times, before you go, how much were you able to conclude about Mr. Ackman and how legitimately he is interested in a public outcome, you know, in the public good here, and how much he's just trying to make money?
Well, I mean, in our conversations with members of his team, yeah, at the end of the day, this is a financial bet. It's about being proven right, but also the windfall that he and his firm reap from that bet.
Will there be a windfall, or do you take him on face value when he says he'll donate all the profits from this to victims?
So to be clear, he said that he will donate any of the profits from his personal investment, but he's also invested his clients, his investors' money.
Uh-huh.
So he runs a hedge fund, and the bet wasn't entirely his own money. So
who's the bad guy here, Herbalife or Ackman?
I don't think that's an easy question to answer. You know, it depends on where you stand on the whole thing. I think, you know, there are two parties here who are operating, you know, as far as we understand on the surface, according to what is legally okay. But, you know, once you pull back the curtain, there are things that are going on that potentially raise questions on both sides.
Alexandra Stevenson, New York Times correspondent, looking into Herbalife. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, when you hear the phrase sex trafficking, do you assume that means something that happens over there in poor countries where hunger, violence, and lack of options for girls makes them victims of exploitation by international criminal organizations? Well, my next guest wants you to look a little closer to home. Sex trafficking in the United States, coming up next.